You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. You can stand if you want. Hey, good to be here this morning. Amen. Right. We use this word, amen. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I just got the whole thing kind of overtook me. And instead of amen, we start saying right on, right on. Right. So Mark Long's like, man, where in the world did you come up with right on? I said, I don't know. It just kind of brewed and came out. You know, he's like, man, that's a 70s deal. I said, well, dude, you should know. Right. Where is he? Is he in here somewhere? He left probably. Oh, there he is. So, right on, Mark, right on, right? Give it a right on. Hey, today's a special day, man. It just so happens to be... Give it up. So, you guys know why. It's a big church Sunday, right? You guys know why, right? Because yesterday was a very, very important day. Becca got married. Isn't that cool? So, yeah, she's married. She was, and I told her, you know, look, you need to be here today. And she gave me some pushback, so I relented. I figured, you know, anyways, we're not going to see her for a couple weeks. But when you see her, congratulate her, shoot her an email. It's a beautiful wedding. Man, it's just, you saw God all over it. It was just wonderful, wonderful stuff. And yesterday was also a very special day. There's a guy named Billy Joe. Billy Joe, many of you know Billy Joe. He comes and usually he's on this side. He sits over here and he brings his little daughter, Kennedy. And Billy Joe, his mother started coming to Shelter when we were at the old place, right? And over on John Glenn and Peachy, her name was Peachy Deck. Peachy was walking her dogs, and we invited her to church. And man, she started coming, and man, she was with us for a couple years. We just loved Peachy, and Peachy brought her two sons one Sunday, and the one son lived in Florida, the other son lived here in the Dayton area, and he never stopped coming. He just kept coming. And Peachy moved to to her homestead down in Kentucky, and Moorhead, yeah, down in Moorhead, Cave Run area. And so yesterday morning, I drove down there because Billy Joe wanted to be baptized, right? And we've been doing, look, we're 7 weeks in a row with baptisms. And today we had, that's awesome stuff. And today we have one, but man, it did not work this week because of some circumstances with staff and people being sick. And it was just crazy this week. But every week we've been showing a baptism. And we have, I think we've been through 7 weeks worth of baptisms. And we have like 18 more, we have a total of 20 total baptisms in the last 2 weeks. So we are like through almost all the way into fall. Every week there'll be a baptism. But I wanted to share with you yesterday. So yesterday I drive down in the morning. I drive down to meet Billy Joe. Billy Joe said some of his family were there. There were 40 people there, right? And his whole family. So I'm sharing Jesus with all of them. And Peachy, Peachy's there. She's 90 years old. And she was just crying. And so, I mean, just really excited about it. And we went into Cave Run Lake. And after Billy Joe was baptized, his wife wanted to be baptized. So his wife came down and she was baptized. Then his brother Bob wanted to be baptized. So we had like 3 people baptized yesterday. It was beautiful stuff. And I had to leave and I left. And I did everything I could to get back up for Becca's wedding. And made it, by the way. So anyways, a little bit late, but I made it. Late for being home, but that's another story. Beth will tell you about that. All right. But it was just a great, great thing. It's a beautiful day yesterday. Lee is has a mic, and I'm not surprised because we saw this happen the first service. Lee, you want to come up here? I guess it's time, right? Give Lee a big hand. She is, you guys know that Lee is the secretary of our church board, our church leadership. Lee is that, and then Randy's on the board, Jerry's on the board, Bernice is on the board. We don't do this every week. This is like a freak week, right? And but they're here.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. Claudia was here for first service. She had a funeral to go to. And, of course, Linda is not here, also on the board, because she's got a new grandbaby as of this morning, or last night. So. Woo! Yeah. Well, for the past...
14, 15.
A whole bunch of years. Ryan has been here by appointment as lead pastor of the church. We have gone a different direction where we have called him to be pastor. And so we will review this every 4 years as a board. We will review his performance, his evaluation, make sure that, you know, he's following all the guidelines that are set for him by board and by the district and district advisory board. So we're all in agreement, Ryan. We'd like to keep you on.
Amen.
Woo! Right on, right on, right on. Well,
you're laughing, Kincaid. You're laughing. So, you know, for 14 years, I've been getting this letter every year, right? And guys, you guys know, man, I don't pay much attention to the polity of the Church of Nazarene. No offense. Sorry. We got some Nazarenes here. I'm sorry. But I've been getting this letter, and it says that you're renewed by your appointment's renewed. I had no idea what that meant, you know, and we have a DS now that's leaving. We got a new DS that's coming in. So I called him. I said, hey, man, what's this deal about appointment? And he's like, well, every year the DS has to appoint you. And I said, well, don't you think it'd be a good idea if you no longer do that? Because I don't know who this new guy's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's kind of why we're up here. You guys have officially called me to be your pastor. Amen. So, all right. Does that help?
That helps. Yeah.
All right.
That's a way better explanation than I could give. So.
Yeah.
But Dr. Van Est, who was our district superintendent for the last 9 years, retired as of last Friday, so we have a new superintendent. But he gave this letter after we met with him this week as a board, this past week, and we went over the review. Each of our board members were asked to do a review, anonymous review, and we reviewed it, went over the results with Ryan, and decided we liked him well enough that... he can continue leading us and teaching us, so all the good stuff.
But good. Right on.
Right on.
We good?
So this letter is from Dr. Van Est, and it says, on Tuesday, July 16th, 2016, Douglas Van Est met with our church board for a regular church pastoral relationship review according to the manual, the Nazarene manual, paragraph 123. Our church board and Douglas Van Est discussed the relationship of the pastor and the church. The church board agreed that the call to Pastor Ryan Riddell should be continued. 4 more years before we do another review. So watch your step.
Joy.
Pastor Riddell.
I heard you, Joy.
Pastor Riddell.
Good thing Joy didn't get that survey.
Pastor Riddell has accepted this review and response and will continue as our pastor. Each constituent of the Church of the Nazarene is encouraged to give support and cooperation to the pastor, the church board, and the leadership team of the church, that they might be strengthened to lead this congregation in reaching people for Jesus Christ.
It's good. It's good.
We're gonna pray for Ryan, and we're calling you as his church family to come up if you'd like. We're gonna just have him step down. We're gonna lay hands on him. Do it nice. We're gonna lay hands on him, and Bernice is gonna lead us in prayer.
Ooh, watch out, guys. Shh. Stop it. Stop. It's not funny.
Dear God, I thank you for Pastor Ryan, and I thank you for what he brings to this church and brings to these people and brings to the lost. I thank you for his boldness and bravery and craziness in 2011, going to the streets of Dayton and living there as replicating homelessness, and which ultimately led me and my family to shelter. I thank you for that opportunity, God, and his craziness and what it did for our family. God, I just... thank you for Ryan and what he does every day and the roles that he has in his life as a son and a husband, a father of four. And God, I just thank you for the job that he leads outside of this place. That God, I just thank you for Keller Williams and that full-time job that he has as a recruiter and as a realtor. And God, I just thank you for the now call to be a pastor and to continue this pastor relationship that he has with Shelter Community Church. I thank you for the strength that you've given him and the strength that you've given us at the church.
Yes, Jesus.
We had it confirmed that the review that we gave him was a review of this church, God, and it was positive. And I thank you for the strength that you've given us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I thank you for this man that's our lead pastor here, God. Just ask you that you put a hedge of protection around this place, mm-hmm. around his family, around every single one of us. I thank you for everything that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you. Right on. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Bernice. Well, guys, thank you for doing that. I'll tell you, this is a great church. It's an awesome place, and you guys have been so honoring to me and my family, and I just want to thank you for that, right? And I also want to just say to you that, you know, the Church of the Nazarene is bigger than what you experience here on Sunday morning. You know, there's checks and balances at every level, and you know, it's just a good thing. It's a good thing to have the oversight that we have, and it's good all the way around. The structure is something I believe is healthy, and it's like I said, it's just a good thing. So today I want to share with you a message with what time we have here, and I want to share this with you. The Lord, he gave it to me, man, kind of threw it in my lap this week, and I'm very thankful for it. But this whole idea of letting go, right? I believe that many of us need to let go. And what I mean by that is that there are things that we have held on to in our past that has affected our future. Right on? Right on. It's Big Church Sunday, Patrick. That's right. With permission. Big Church Sunday, right. That's right. But the truth, hear me what I'm saying. The truth is this, is that the things in our past have affected us as we move forward in our future. It's affected our relationships, our finances. It's affected our health. It's affected our careers. It's affected us. And I believe in the next 20, 25 minutes, I believe that before we leave, I believe and trust and I just believe that God is going to speak truth to us. And he's going to help us as we move forward and move into the future in a real way that we're able to let go and sever what we've experienced and dealt with in the past, the offenses and the things that the abuse, the things that has hurt us, right? So today, we want to make sure that we just want to make sure that we're able to sever that and move forward in the future without being hindered from the past. Here's the truth. The truth is that we tend to carry a boatload of luggage around, don't we? Luggage that's filled with hurt, with pain, with offenses. And we carry these things around and it has affected us. It's affected us as we move forward. And here's the truth. The truth is that if we take a poll all around the church and we ask people, have you ever been hurt by someone? The truth is that all of us has, right? All of us at one point or another has been hurt by someone. And we carry these things around and it has affected us. Even though all of what was a part, even though that as we move forward in the future, the past has affected us. And here's what I want to say. The truth is this, is that some of us have been hurt more than others, but all of us have experienced a hurt and a pain that has been caused by someone else. And not dealing with this enables, not dealing with that offense or that abuse enables the person who has hurt us to smuggle their issues into our future. Now think about that. If you don't deal with this, you are allowing the people who have hurt you, the people that has deceived you, the people that have lied to you, the people that have offended you, the people that have abused you, you're allowing them to affect your future. Now why in the world would any of us want to do that? Are you with me here this morning? Right on, right on, right on. Right? You know, many of us, or some of us, perhaps, you know, we get caught up and we see these cycles play out in our lives, right? These cycles, these kind of these reoccurring themes, these issues that we deal with. Maybe it's issues with our finances. Maybe it's issues with our bosses or our work. But we see these issues and these issues that's kind of like these reoccurring themes that come up. These things that we see over and over and over. Like, for example, you know, you're beginning to hear from your in your second marriage. You're beginning to hear from your spouse in your second marriage the same thing that you heard from the spouse in your first marriage. The thing that you're just like your mother. For example, you're seeing the cycle, you're seeing these things play out, you're seeing the kind of the same thing. You're in a new job now, so you're in this new job. And the same thing that's happened in this new job, it was happening in the old job. This cycle, this conflict, you're seeing it. And you're standing with your boss on the job and it's beginning to look like the first. Your finances are beginning to look very much like the finances looked the first time when you had to file. Your relationships with your kids, it's that same cycle. You're beginning to see a pattern. You guys know the cycle that I'm referring to, right? And here's the deal. You keep following yourself around, and the common denominator in all of this, in every transaction, the common denominator is what? It's you. It's me. The common denominator. Here's the deal. None of us want the people who hurt us most to keep showing up in our lives. None of us want these people these folks to continue to have that kind of impact. And what I want to say to you is that, folks, today is a great day. It's a great opportunity today to break the cycle. Today is a great opportunity. Today is a great opportunity to move on. It's a great opportunity to let go of the past so the past can let go of you. Amen? Right on. Yeah. So here, I have two questions. I have two questions. Two very insensitive questions. Is it okay if I ask some insensitive questions this morning? I like to ask that beforehand. Is that all right? Okay, good. Thank you. Right on. So, number one. How far into your future do you intend to carry the angst in your past? How far in the future do you intend to carry that angst? I mean, some people carry it their whole lives, right? Some people, their whole life is just, it continues to be like layers of an onion. It just continues to grow and there's more layers and it's just more bitterness. And that angst that starts way back here continues to fester and grow, and they're never able to break free of it. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be me. Huh? Right? Number two, how long do you plan to allow the people who mistreated you influence you? How long do you plan to allow the people who mistreated you to influence you? Because the truth is that when you don't let go of the past and you carry that into the future, their influence is smuggled into your ability to relate with your family, your ability to handle your finances, your ability to deal with your job. Your ability to move forward in life and experience the abundant life that only Jesus promises us, and what Jesus promised. He promises us not that we would have just eternal life, but he says we can have life and life more abundantly, right? More abundant. But yet we fall short of that abundant living because of the things that we have smuggled and carried from our past. The influence from our offender is moved into our ability to experience all that God has for us. How long are you going to carry that? How long are you going to allow that to happen? So we live. We have that bitterness. We've got that bad attitude. We're walking others, our kids and our others are around us are walking on eggshells because they don't want to offend and they don't want to get us fired up, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Those triggers that we have. We have the short fuse. Here's the deal. The people who have hurt you, they've smuggled themselves into your life and they've affected you. On the other hand, have you ever met someone and you see their story and you know, you look at their story and their life seems like, man, they have no problems. You know, things are going great with them. You know, their kids are healthy. They've got great jobs. They're, you know, you see, you know, what God's doing and the blessing in their life. And you see like this, you know, you just see them and then you hear their story and you're like, oh my goodness, how in the world is she doing so well here, but back here she had to deal with that? And you hear their story of how bad they were abused or how bad they were offended and how bad that they were, you know, all this stuff that they had to deal with. But yet you look over here and it's like, oh my goodness, I never would have guessed that they, of all people, had to deal with. You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you ever met someone like that? I mean, praise God, we're seeing these life-changing stories up here. And these life-changing stories, I mean, you're hearing some of these stories of where people came from and where they're at now. It's a beautiful thing. But when you talk to each one of these folks that went through that horrible divorce or suffered that incredible abuse or dealt with the issues that they had to deal with in their childhood, and you see this, there's one thing that every one of them will say and one common theme that every one of them share. And do you know what that is? They decided to let it go. They decided to deal with it and they decided to let it go. Say this. Say they decided. They decided. That's exactly what they did. That's the common theme with each one. They decided. They decided that their past would remind them, but their past by God would not define them. There's many stories. Stories of letting go of the past so that the past can let them go. And that's my prayer this morning. My prayer is that we're able to receive God's word this morning so that we are not defined by that. And that we are not going to allow the abuse and the stuff that we dealt with here, that our offenders be infused or carried in to what we're about as we move forward. So when we look in the scriptures, there's a guy named Paul. Some of us know Paul, some of us don't. But if anyone understands this idea of forgiveness and this idea of letting go and this idea of moving forward and this idea of seeing and witnessing, you know, this concept of deciding and not allowing the past to interfere with the future, it's Paul. Paul saw it. And what's cool about Paul is that yes, Paul was abused. Yes, Paul was beaten. And yes, Paul had an offender and he had offenders. And Paul had to understand this idea of deciding to allow this to be let go. But we also know this. Paul didn't just understand it from that side. Paul understood it from this side because Paul was an offender. Paul used to beat Christians and he took part in the stoning of Stephen. Paul was an abuser. And what Paul saw And what Paul experienced was this, was Jesus's forgiveness, God's forgiveness. He experienced that, and he experienced the forgiveness of the church. He experienced forgiveness of brothers and sisters in Christ letting go, letting him go. So Paul saw it and experienced it, and he had a perspective on it that is beyond probably what you and I have ever seen or experienced. So Paul writes, and he's writing this letter. And in this letter, he's writing, and this is what's cool about God's Word, man. God's Word is incredible. And it's, I believe that the Scriptures are inspired by God. God gives man, like Paul, men, and he gives them this Word, and they're able to write these Scriptures that stand the test of time. 2,000 years ago, what worked for Paul and worked for the church of Ephesus works for you and I. And what we see here is Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Look at this. He writes this to the church of Ephesus in this letter. And here's what it says. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Now, Andy Stanley says this. He says there's two imperatives to this. And this first part of verse 26. And you see it. The two imperatives is this. It says, you see that don't sin by letting anger control you. Here's the two imperatives. It's in the original text, we see it more clearly. But it says, be angry and don't sin. That's what Paul's basically saying. So I just want to put many of you all at ease this morning. Many of you are following the Lord's direction, and you are being obedient to what the Scripture says because you experience anger. Amen? Right on. Come on, guys, right? Here's what Paul's saying this. He's saying, be angry. Look, anger in and of itself is not wrong. It's a God-given emotion. We saw Jesus be angry. In some sense, anger holds you accountable. I mean, in some sense, right? Anger is not bad. I mean, it's not bad in and of itself. Some people say, oh, you can't be angry. You know, well, you know what, man? Jesus was angry. We see it. Here's the two imperatives, though. Be angry, but don't sin. There is a way to be angry. And that's by not sinning. Do not sin. There's a decision. And what we see here is this. And in your anger, do not sin. But then he goes on and he says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And what you see in this is the decision piece. We spoke of the decision. Each one of us in that common theme, that common group, we see that they all had one common theme. And that one common theme with these folks that were able to move forward in their future without being affected by their past, right? That one common theme was that they decided to not let anger control them. Right on? They decided not to let the sun go down while they were still angry. Now think about this. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. What that means is don't carry that anger. Don't allow that anger to carry over in after the sun goes down. Because as the sun goes down, the sun comes up the next morning. And that is your future. That is going forward. Too many of us are angry and we let that anger consume us, take control over us, and we go to bed with that anger, and we get up with that anger, more angry than what we were the day before. That's the decision. The decision that you and I have to make. Some of us say, well, Ryan, if you knew what they did to me, Well, Ryan, you have no idea. Some would say, you know, Ryan, look, if we're talking about breaking the law, they need to call the cops. You need to call the cops and let them stand before another judge. But at the same time, we don't have to live in bondage, and we don't have to let their influence sneak into our life and carry forward the next day. Verse 27, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. See that in verse 27? Here's what I want to say to y'all, man. Is don't give the enemy anything. Don't give him a gift. And that's what this is. This is a gift. When you carry that anger and you carry that and you let that go into the next day and you let the sun go down and it's with you. Look, you carry that and you're giving the enemy a gift is what you're doing. You're giving him a place. You're giving him a space to operate and for him to do the kind of stuff that he does to stir you up and affect you as you move forward. Look, you can't contain that. When you give him a foothold or a space, there's a ripple effect to that. And let me tell you something. You think your kids don't see that? You think your kids don't feel that? They may not know why, but man, they feel it. Another version says this, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down and still be angry, and do not give the devil a foothold, okay? You don't want to give him a place to set up shop where he can reach into your future, where he can reach into your past and take it into your future. You do not want to give him that kind of foothold. Now, what's interesting here is Paul uses the word devil. In the Greek context, you see in the Greek the word Satan. You see that throughout the New Testament, right? And you see it in the Greek. But this word devil, Paul was not referring to Satan. Now just hear me when he uses this word. According to what I read in the commentator and what I've heard, this is what I know. What I know is this, is that this word, right, that's used here, Paul is describing influencer, liar, deceiver, slanderer. Okay? Now here's the deal. The best way to understand what Paul is saying is to understand that the person who hurt you was really the face of the influencer, the face of the liar, the face of the deceiver. I mean, the truth is that what we don't fight against flesh and blood, right? There is an enemy, there is an influence, there is a work that goes on, right? And doesn't mean that these folks aren't responsible to let that influencer in. They certainly are. But I'm telling you, your battle is not with that offender. Your battle is with the enemy. It's with the influence of evil. It's the influencer, a liar, a deceiver. Now, that's what Paul is referring to. He is not referring, we see that word devil, and that's okay, but I'm just saying it's more than that. It's deeper than that, right? And so what I want to say is this, is that in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down and still be angry, and do not give your offender a foothold. Now, the best way to understand what Paul is saying is to insert the face of your offender where the devil is. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down and still be angry. And do not give Frank a foothold. You get where I'm coming from? Right on, right on, right on. You guys are kind of quiet. Look, I'm just saying to y'all, man. When you bring it home and you bring it down and you bring it to a different level, some of y'all are thinking, man, I don't know if I should have come this weekend. Man, he's preaching on. I hear this. Pastor Ryan, you're preaching right at me, you know. No, I'm not. If it rings with me, I'm thinking, you know, this is really ringing with me. You know, I'm really kind of feeling this. And if I'm feeling this, the odds are someone else is, right? All right? Right on, Lee says, right? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down and still be angry. And do not give the ex-wife the foothold. Oh, Ryan. Whew. Man, Ryan. Pastor Ryan, oh. I've carried that for 30 years, yep. Your kids know it too. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down, still be angry. And do not give that boss a foothold. Ooh, some of y'all, man, you have no idea what that boss did. Man, don't give your abuser a foothold. Don't give your offender a foothold. I know God right now, man, he's just putting people in your head. Man, here's the deal, folks. Why would anyone want the influence of your offender to be packed in your luggage and you're dragging that into your new relationship or into the life of your family and your kids? And let it affect you 20, 30 years down the road. Man, don't give them that. Check this out. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Here's what Paul says. Now, bear in mind, if anyone understands this from both sides, it's Paul. Paul understands this. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Just hit the pause button. Just, if you guys don't mind, just put your finger out and hit the pause button just for a second. Forgiving one another. When you look at that forgiving one another, here's what that forgiving one another means. Okay? That forgiving one another means pardon. Pardon. Now, when you pardon, when a president is about to leave office, you're going to see a bunch of pardons in the next couple months. And those pardons that you see, that does not mean that those people were innocent. What it means is these people were found guilty, but they are going to be pardoned. In their guilt, they were guilty, they were convicted. And he is going to set them free, meaning he is going to release them. Wrong, right, and different. It's just the way it works. Every president does it. This is what Paul is suggesting that we do as we move forward in our future so we're able to let go of our past. Letting go of the past so that we can move forward in the future. In order to do that, we have to pardon. We have to release it. We have to break the bonds. Break the strings and the ties. And we say to that, I forgive you. You do not deserve it, but I forgive you. And what happens when you forgive them, all of the baggage goes away and you're able to move forward and experience abundant life. You're able to have healed relationships. You're able to move forward and with whatever it is that you're struggling with. You understand what I'm saying? It is not worth carrying it because you feel like they owe you something. Here's the truth. When you really boil it all down, what they owe you, they can never repay it. It's a deception. It's smoke and mirrors. They're never going to be able to make right what's wrong. Never. Your lost childhood, your innocence, your whatever it is, they're never going to be able to make right what they've done to you. But what you can do is you can cut this and you can peel back the layer of that onion and you can live free of all that baggage. And that's what this morning's about. I know it doesn't sound fun. I know it's difficult to swallow. I know that, you know, there's an angst, you know. But man, that angst, I am more convinced that that angst doesn't just affect you emotionally, but that angst affects you physically. The bitterness you've been holding on to, I believe that that manifests itself in many different ways, physically. And then the most beautiful part. And if you're not a follower of Christ or you're not right with the Lord this morning, you can hear this, you know, and you can, man, I pray you receive it. But if you're not a follower, this is the beautiful, this is what this is all about. This is really the basis of everyone's ability to forgive. It's this last piece. Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When you experience the forgiveness of God and you're following Jesus and you experience his forgiveness in your heart and life and you experience how he pardoned you. And praise God that Jesus pardoned me. He went to the cross and he pardoned me. And he did not carry forward, right, how I've wronged him. And he was able to pardon me so that he could redeem the world. It didn't affect his relationships. Jesus went to the cross and he forgave us. He pardoned us so that all of us could be free. And all of us could live in this future without being hindered by our past. I think that's a beautiful story. I think that's a beautiful story, a beautiful picture of God's grace, of the gospel, and the way it is designed to work. And I want to challenge you this morning. Let's all stand. I want to challenge you this morning. If you have not received the grace of God, if you've not received his pardon, if you've not received his forgiveness, man, it sure makes it a lot easier to forgive other people. And truthfully, I believe that's where it all really needs to start this morning. Maybe you this morning in this big church Sunday, maybe you this morning need to experience God's forgiveness in your heart and life. If that's you this morning, just pray with me, right? Just put your hands out right where you're at, your head bowed and your eyes closed, and no one's going to call you out. No one's going to, you know, no one's going to embarrass you. This is between you and God. Right? Not you and your neighbor. It's between you and God. Right? Just put your hands out and pray with me. Say, Father God, I want to receive your forgiveness this morning. Just pray that. Father God, I want to be pardoned this morning. Say, Father, I want you to forgive me for how I have offended you and offended others. And I pray that your grace would come into my heart and life. This unmerited favor, this grace that restores, this grace that brings life, this grace that is central to the gospel of Jesus Christ, this grace that helps us to live life unencumbered and to experience the abundant life that you have promised. Lord, I want that this morning. Just pray that in your own way, man. Just, it's you and God right now, Father, Lord, I pray that this church would be a people of prayer, a people that are deeply intertwined with you and that their level of intimacy with you and mine grows. I pray that this morning. Help us, Jesus. Now, second part. Second part is, God, you know how I've been hurt, because he does. He knows your hurts. He knows your issues. He knows how you have been offended and abused, and how you have been innocent of some of the pain that you have been dealt. And truthfully, the hand you've been dealt has not been quote unquote fair. God sees that. He knows that. He recognizes that. Thank you, Jesus, for knowing that, for being merciful, for being a God of healing. And Lord, this morning I ask, Father, that you would give us the strength to forgive others. Now, there's been a couple names to come into your head, into your mind, heads of people that have offended you. Would you just call those names out? Not out loud, just in your mind. Just say, Father God, I, through your strength and through your help, I want to forgive. I want to forgive my dad or my mom, my crazy uncle, whoever. I just give that to you, God. My boss, whoever it is, coach. You know, for some of you, it's even a pastor. God, I want you to help me forgive that pastor, that ex-wife, that ex-husband, my kids. You know who it is. God, I pray, begin to release, Lord, those shackles. Begin to release people. God, may this stuff, Lord, may it be a reminder. May it remind us, but may it not define us. Moving forward, we want to be identified with you and your freedom, your grace. And we release this stuff in Jesus' name. And we move forward, Lord. We move forward unencumbered by the influence of that liar and influencer and deceiver. We move forward with peace and blessing. And in the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Amen. Right on. Right on.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.